Oh. Good evening. We will begin with our gathering song, Jesus Loves Me. It's not in LBW 479, that's a misprint, but the words are printed on the screen and in your bulletin as well. Welcome to worship on this eve of Pentecost 20, a special welcome to guests and visitors. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, the implementation team is going to be meeting tomorrow evening at 5 p.m., and then they'll be getting back to you as far as an update of what's happening and what we can look forward to this fall and into the winter season. Also, Julie and I'll be on vacation the 14th to the 21st of October. And next Saturday, Pastor Mark Schwartz will be our pulpit supply here. And also on the 20th, we'll have Madonna Towers worship. And on the 20th, the women will be having session two, the first chapter of the book they're reading in their Bible study. So please take note of that. Coffee Fellowship, we're looking for someone that might be interested in helping with our Thanksgiving Eve, which is at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And Gene Wanick has secured a Thrivent grant for that. Also, nominating committee, please contact them if the Lord is placing in your heart a desire, a calling to serve him for his praise and his glory. We get that opportunity here on earth. And I'm 64 years old now, and I got to tell you, I'm thankful every day that God gives me that I can use it for his praise and his glory. And so listen to the voice of God and hear how God is calling you to serve here and elsewhere for his praise and for his glory. Also, regarding announcements, let's see here. I thought there was one more I wanted to, Feast of All Saints, don't forget that. November 6th, we'll be naming our loved ones, family and friends that have died during the past 12 months. And so if you have a name, some people have already sent those to me by email or give it to me in writing so that I have the correct spelling, etc. And then we'll be doing that on the 6th. That'll be the final Saturday that Margene and Denny will be with us before they head down south, and we'll be having a special blessing for the two of them also. Carving a pumpkin prayerfully. I don't know what your tradition is at Halloween, but in the back there you can see there's a big jack-o'-lantern, and We're going to carve it prayerfully. There's some handouts there. And it doesn't matter whether you're a kid that's 75 years old or 5 years old or 25 years old, whatever age, I would invite you to think about getting a pumpkin and doing it prayerfully. You might want to paint it, you might want to decorate it, but do it with that handout and then bring it on Saturday the 30th when we'll be celebrating Reformation, All Hallows Eve. And what I would like you to do then is to bring it so that we can display those pumpkins and how the Lord has spoken to you as you prayerfully was preparing for All Saints Day and Reformation, what we call Halloween. Okay? Otherwise, youth and family event, you can talk to Deb or Judy about that. Flood bucket kits are going to be assembled, and that's on October 24th, Sunday, 1:30 p.m., October 24th. So you've got a little bit of time for that. Lots of things that are happening in the life of Emmanuel, and so I encourage you to participate as the Lord stirs your soul. Hopefully, you, whether you watch it on the screen or you came in, you grabbed a copy of Holden Evening Prayer. Remember to return the liturgy before you leave. But otherwise, I would invite you now to stand as you are able. And we'll begin with our service of light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sustain your church with your perpetual mercy. Without you, in our weakness, we will surely fall. Therefore, keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power. Resurrect us from the dead.
Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. Set us free and make us whole. You who made the heavens splendor, every dancing star of night, make us shine with gentle justice. Let us each reflect your light. Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless day.
The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation. Congregation, may be seated for our psalmody day. Women, group one, following gender, and group two, the men with the echo. Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading is from Amos chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, with none to quench it but for Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many of your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from Mark 10, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. The children's message has already been posted on our Facebook page, so let us sing together, "Take My Life and Let It Be." What must I do. Doing. Are you a doer? You see, my father was perhaps one of the best, well, what we'd call good work ethic people that I have ever known in my whole life. He would do anything and everything for a person. A doer. We oftentimes look at doing because we expect to get something. You do this, and then you get this. In other words, we expect that doing is going to be about a transaction. When in fact, what God wants us to have, the heart of the matter, is a relationship. What must I do? It's a good question. Don't get me wrong. It's a very good question. It's an important question. It's probably a wonderful place to start. But it's not a good place to end. What must I do? Well, when I grew up on the farm, if I was expecting an allowance, if I was working for other farmers, there was rocks to be picked, there was hay to be baled, there was chores to do, like mowing the big lawn that we had, but my dad provided us with a riding lawnmower, and that made the doing that much easier. And when I was in school, if I wanted to get good grades, what did I need to do? Well, show up, do my homework, pass the test, move from grade to grade. You know, you've got to do something if you want to get something. At least that's the premise that we live by, isn't it? Doing to getting. And so that's where our gospel reading begins tonight. What must I do? Well, have you ever heard the phrase? Maybe you've spoken it to someone else. Maybe someone has spoken it to you. You're a goody two-shoes. You're a goody two-shoes. You know the origin of that phrase? They don't know exactly who wrote the story, but it goes back to 1765, the history of little goody two-shoes. It's an amazing story. It really is. It's about Marjorie Meanwell, and she only had one shoe. Now, kids that are here tonight, can you imagine walking around your whole life, everywhere you went was just one shoe? It would be crazy. It would be hard. But she was so poor, she was an orphan. She only had one shoe. And then one day, a wealthy man, he gave her a gift. Guess what it was? A pair of shoes. I mean, one for each foot. And Marjorie, meanwhile, she went right away to Mrs. Smith, and she said, "Look, see, I got two shoes, see?" And from then on, everywhere, every day, guess what Marjorie's practice was? She practiced doing good for others. Now, some people would say that that's the story of kind of like Cinderella, you know, where virtue gets rewarded in the end. So you do something and you get something. But you heard me tell you the story, didn't you? About Marjorie. Did you see where it all began? She didn't do to get. What did she do? Her doing was the fruit of her gift. That, my friends, is where we want to begin. We set the table with Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, as you may recall, is in this section in Mark's gospel where three times Jesus says, "The Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem, is going to be shamefully treated, is going to be crucified. But on the third day, rise." Well, in chapter 10, if you remember last week's gospel, there were some ill-intent religious folks, leaders, Pharisees. They came up to Jesus, and they wanted to trap him. They wanted to talk about divorce. Not really. They just wanted to trap him. And Jesus said, "I don't want to talk about divorce. I want to talk about marriage and family." And so last week's gospel, as you may recall, ended with Jesus saying, "You want to get into the kingdom? You want to know what salvation is about? It's a relationship. You must become as a child. You must be owned. You must be property. You must belong. You know what Jesus was doing. The parents were bringing the kids because they got it. They wanted Jesus to place his hands upon them and bless those kids. This is a gift, my friends. This is grace. This is what goodness looks like. Real goodness. And the disciples were rebuking them and saying, you know, we got a church nursery and that kind of stuff. And Jesus said, stop it right now. There's only one way you get in. You got to become like a child. And then we move to our gospel for tonight. So you see, we got to know how the table is set. These stories are all interrelated, my friends. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus, we're told, is on a journey. On a journey? You're not talking about a month of vacation somewhere. He's on a journey. Do you know what that journey is? It has a destination. The destination is Good Friday and Easter morning. Crucifixion, the cross, and an empty tomb. You didn't miss that, I hope. That's how it begins tonight. Jesus is on a journey. And he's already told us how we get in the kingdom. It's got to be gift. It's got to be grace. It's got to be what's been done. It's not about what you do. So this man, he doesn't have a name. Well, insert your own name if you want to. He comes running up to Jesus. There's a sense of urgency here. And what does he do? He kneels and bows before Jesus, a sign of reverence and respect, awe, adoration. And then he says, good teacher, what must I do to get into the kingdom of God? To get saved? To get into heaven? What must I do? And like I said, it's a good question. It's a fair question. It's a necessary question. Begin there, but don't end there. Did you notice what Jesus does? He's a rabbi, you know, a teacher. And so he answers the question with a question of his own. I mean, he's not going off on a tangent. He's getting at something really important, my friends. Why do you call me good? Because we all know what? There's only one who is good. That's Almighty God. So whether he intended it or not, this nameless man has spoken the truth. Jesus is God Almighty. Goodness. So then Jesus continues and he says, you know the commandments. You know the 10 words, the Decalogos. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, I know the 10 commandments. My mom and my dad, they tell me about them because they're rules and I got to obey them. And if I don't do something, then I don't get something. Or if I do something bad, then I'm going to get something bad. Right? But they're the 10 words of God. God's gracious revelation. God's goodness poured out for his people. Jesus says, you know, there's two tables. Table two. Let's talk about relationship with other people. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't covet. Don't steal. Don't kill. Honor your mom and dad. And the nameless man says, I have kept all of this since I was a little kid. And you know what Jesus probably did? He might have reached out his hand, patted him on the back, and said, good for you. one thing. You want to be a goody two-shoes? You want to know what you need to do? I mean, you don't know how close you are, buddy. One thing, just one thing. That's all. You can see this guy is probably jumping at the bit. One thing, this is why I came. This is why I ran. This is the urgency. This is about eternal life. This is about salvation. This is about everything. One thing, what is it? Jesus loves verbs. Go, sell, give, come, follow me. Wait. You want me to go and sell not half of what I have, but 100% of what I have? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd say, this is nuts. This is crazy. Who does he think he is? Well, of course, I said he was the good teacher. Go and sell everything you have and then give it to the poor. There's always going to be somebody in need. And then come and follow me. And you will have heavenly treasure. You'll be richer than anybody you could ever dream of. In other words, you'd have to be somebody's property. You'd have to belong. You'd have to be owned. Now, there's a little nugget in the story that some people miss. Jesus looked at him and loved him. What did the nameless man do? The man that had run up to Jesus with urgency, the man who was chomping at the bit for the answer, what did he do? He walked away. He walked away with his head down. And he was filled with sorrow. Wow. And all he wanted to know was what he needed to do to get saved. Now, the rest of this story, you'll hear next week when Pastor Mark Schwartz is here. But I don't need to tell you what happens. Jesus looks at his disciples and said, you know, guys, it's going to be harder for somebody who has wealth, lots of stuff, possessions. I mean, that's why he walked away, because he had lots of stuff. But actually, the stuff had him. He didn't have possessions, the possessions had him. Jesus says it's going to be so hard for someone with wealth to get into the kingdom. The disciples say, well, then who can be saved? You know how Jesus answered that question? You know, don't you? With human beings, it's not possible. Then what in the world am I doing? You see? What in the world am I doing then? If it's impossible. But, Jesus says, but with God, everything is possible. I know that. I know that. Because God has already shown me that in my battle with cancer. You know that with Denny. We know that everything, not just most things, everything is possible with God. You know why? Because Jesus looked at this man and loved him. That's our hope. It's not what you and I do. It's what God does, what God did. It's not about doing, it's about done. Believe it. Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. It's a promise. It's a gift. Martin Luther struggled with how he could find a gracious God. He went into fasting. He went into kind of body beating. He was in the place, you know, where you go and you confess your sins, the confessional booth. He was in there all the time, and finally, you know, he had to be told, "You're greedy. Let somebody else have some access to the confessional booth." He went on pilgrimages. Like, he went up to the holy place, you know, where there were 28 stairs called Pilate stairs. And in those days, they were selling indulgences that you could get people out of purgatory if you just did something, if you paid some money. So Luther goes there. He's trying to find a gracious God. He's trying to do something. He's going up one step at a time. And on every step of those 28 steps, Luther even kissed the steps, but they were required, expected to do something, to say the Paternoster, the Lord's Prayer. He gets to the top and says it for the final time, kisses that step, and he says to himself, "But I wonder if all of my doing means anything." Thank God that Luther had this wonderful awakening while teaching, reading, studying, preaching on Romans, where he realized you only get into heaven if you're good. But no one is good but God alone. So it has to be a gift. It has to be something that is done for us. And now, through us. I mean, seriously, you might be surprised, my friends, at what you actually might do when we believe that it's been done, that we are saved through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By his stripes we are healed. I remember the story of Richard and his wife. We had a care facility in Richmond where I grew up, and there were residents there that faced all kinds of mental challenges. And there would be times that our youth group would go there and times that adults would go there, and we'd play bingo, etc., with the residents. Richard and his wife, some other couples, they went there one night to play bingo with the residents. Richard was helping a young man named Thomas. Thomas didn't say much, but the whole night he kept admiring the belt that Richard was wearing. A great big buckle on it. And so finally Richard explained to Thomas, he said, "Well, this is my souvenir." And he saw him kind of going like this, and he said, "Yeah, really expensive, but I bought it from my trip to Montana." And so Richard was there helping Thomas put the little markers on his bingo card. And then all of a sudden, Richard, he took off the belt and buckle and he gave it to Thomas. And Thomas was grinning from ear to ear. And he was clapping. And he gave the biggest hug ever to Richard. And one of the other couples that was with, a gentleman came over and said, "Richard, what in the world are you doing? What in the world are you doing? That's your prized possession. That means more to you than anything else. What are you doing?" Richard said, "Didn't you see? Didn't you see how he loved the gift? Didn't you see?" I'm here to tell you that doing does really matter, but only as the fruit of what's been done for you and for me. The done produces the doing, you see? So Jesus is on a journey, and the rich man's story isn't over yet. You know why? Because Jesus looked at him and loved him. Been a hard week in Lake Wobegon. It's been a rough week. And when I was dealing with pain in the back, the abdomen, I'm sitting and I'm working through it because I don't want to let the evil one have the last word ever. And I know God won't let him. And I'm sitting at the table in our house, and I'm looking as I've got the computer in front of me, and I'm working on my 431, and I see that there's a woman out there walking two big white labs. And when she gets out there by the little lending library, where my wife has placed a little stool so that kids can get up there and get little kids' books and stuff, one of those white labs, and she's got them both on a leash. You know what he does? Do I have to tell you what he did? He was in the doing, peeing all over that stuff. I just started to weep. I wanted to go out there and do something. I wanted to say, what's wrong with you? Don't you get it? It broke my heart. I'm telling you this story because there are people that don't know about the gift. They don't know about the love of Jesus. Because that love of Jesus, my friends, it's going to change everything else that we do. You know the commandments. They're not rules. They're gifts from my God who loves you with a forever love, who goes to the cross for you. What must I do? Die and rise. And rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue on page 9 of our Holden Evening Service of Liturgy. I invite you to rise as you are able. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth, to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you.
You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will. My soul in you. You have more
Congregation may be seated for our closing prayers. Salvation, we pray to you.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God have mercy, hold us in love.
Help us, comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God. Today we're mindful of all who are battling cancer, and we pray for the gift of healing. We pray for Barb Stephenson. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Ariana and Melody and Eric Miller. We pray for Deb Spitzer. We pray, Lord, for Marianne Groven and the healing of her broken foot. We pray for Gloria Weebush, for Doug Schomer, for his wife Tammy, Vanessa, and all who are battling COVID-19. We pray, Lord, for Sheldon Berry. We pray for his healing, O Lord. We pray for Kim and for her cousins, for safe travels home. All those that we name before you, Lord, like Julie Engel and Bob Harms and Mike Engel, be with them, Lord, and grant them your saving grace. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for our final blessing. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our Sunday song, O Jesus, I Have Promised.